Did you hear that they canceled Pokemon and Zelda lands for Universal?
No, I didn't hear that actually.
Yeah, they canceled lands that were never announced and only rumored. Hello and welcome to the Park Stop Podcast, episode 4. My name is Alicia Stella and with me is Ian.
What's up, kids?
Today we're going to be talking about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. But first we're going to get to some news.
Hey, news, lots and lots of news. And also joining us today is Kronk in the background chewing things. So apologies for the noises.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a few things that happened with Universal since we last talked. One of which just going on now is they put work walls up around the Jurassic Park games at Islands of Adventure, the skill games.
Are they going to move? Are they moving anything? Or are they just putting the walls up?
Yeah, they're moving the games. They're moving the food stands. They're moving a bunch of stuff, which I put in video several months ago that once we saw the games move and then after that we'd see the Raptor encounter move, then we know they're building a roller coaster. So it looks like they're building a roller coaster.
Look at you go. It's kind of like you know what you're doing around here.
Also going on, I released a video where I talked about how the ride vehicle showed up for the Harry Potter coaster, and it looks like that is Hagrid's motorbike. Which at least that's awesome. What's what we think anyway. We should expect an announcement for that any day now. Maybe we'll find out the name.
Yeah, I was going to say it. Maybe a name.
Before it opens.
Hagrid's Forest Friend Roundup. That's my go-to.
But another one, our last show, we were talking all about the Fourth Gate, Universal's new theme park. And right after that episode last month, someone leaked a photo from like a Comcast town hall. And it appears that Fantastic Worlds is the name for the new park.
Which is awesome. And the leak looks pretty cool. The logo looks pretty cool. It's nice and clean and basic. I dig it.
And yeah, I'm sure it's like an early concept logo. The background was a Super Nintendo World. So we got some confirmation that that is indeed where it's going in Orlando.
Which is awesome. I'm good with that too. Not as many people saw Universal Orlando Resort, the next step.
Oh yeah, the second half of the image. The person that leaked it also released the second half. It looked like someone snuck a photo on their phone.
That's awesome.
The name is Fantastic World. So that's where my money was on, because that's when they trademarked. So it doesn't surprise me, but at the same time, it's pretty cool to see it like actually in print. Not that Universal has confirmed it or said anything about this leaked picture. Now, since that leaked photo surfaced, I was contacted. An anonymous source slipped me a document that appears to be from the same town hall meeting.
Okay. So Dish, tell me what's up.
It seems to have like the same fonts in it, and it says the same, the next step for the Universal Orlando Resort on it. But it also, it has information about what the new park's going to be like. What's strange is that it doesn't have that much that we don't already know. In looking it over and reading through it, this is, it says at the bottom, it's page 13. So I'm assuming it was like a visual aid that was given to people at the meeting, and the whole front half had all different other stuff for NBC Universal. And then as it got to the very last page, it's like, what's the next step? And the next step is a new theme park.
Which is something we all knew was coming by the land clearing. Universal does not like to announce anything.
Yeah, but they have to talk to their own shareholders and their own company people. And they did mention on a earnings call last year that they were looking toward adding a new park. And this document actually specifically says the same thing that CEO Burke said on the phone call, that they want to turn Universal Orlando Resort from a 2 or 3 day destination into a week long vacation destination to compete with their competitor. So information we've seen before. Also, it was rumored that during the town hall meeting, they talked about being more aggressive over the next 5 years and investing more into the parks. And it talks about that here.
Which is all good. Some of those parks need love.
But it does show an alternate version of the Fantastic Worlds logo. Mm-hmm. And it does say underneath logo that it's an early concept for the logo. So like we were saying before, it's, you know, they haven't locked this down and they're still working on it, which is why this information is not supposed to be released to the public. But it goes on to explain the name. And if you're watching the video version, we're going to show some of this document right there so you can see along with us while we're reading it.
We're trying to read it because it's blurry.
It says, the fantastic world's name signifies the many beloved worlds from media, I think that word's cut off, that our guests want to step into, experience, and explore them in a fully immersive way, from rides to restaurants, shows, shops, and even restrooms.
Wait, what's going on? Now I'm curious. I'm scared to go to the bathroom now.
Well, the Wizarding World has themed restrooms. Like yeah. The one in London looks like the one that they go to the ministry in.
Yeah, and there's also
Moaning Myrtle.
Myrtle, yep.
So they've already started doing that. Now, I do want to say, I have no idea where this document came from. I have no idea of its authenticity. It looks like it was, I pieced it together from six different photographs that were looked like they were taken secretly during the meeting, and someone's trying not to get into trouble. But at the same time, maybe this could be a hoax.
You never know. Seems a little weird that somebody would want to slip information out, though, anonymously to get famous.
So there's also the same piece of concept art for Super Nintendo World on the page that was behind that leaked slide from the presentation, which is the same piece of art from the Japan commercial.
Okay.
But it says in the caption, concept art for Super Nintendo World, one of the new worlds in Fantastic Worlds.
That's cool. Now, I don't mean to backtrack because I know you're trying to get through news, but can we just discuss the restroom theme to Godzilla for a minute? Because that's... That thought is just creeping in my head and it's freaking me out a little bit. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Now, there is one piece of information in here that it was rumored, and I think it's something we talked about, but it's interesting to see it in print here. Let me read exactly. While our creative teams are still in the early stages of developing the new park, we can already reveal some more details besides just the name. The park will be designed in a hub and spoke design, with a central icon and space known as the hub, allowing for easy wayfinding between the many immersive worlds.
Interesting.
So like the Magic Kingdom has a hub and spoke design, the classic theme park design, no Universal park has a design like that.
That's interesting. And if they build everything to be like Potter, you're not going to be able to see out. So I wonder if it's going to be something tall enough for you to be able to get your bearings.
What kind of central icon could it be?
I don't know. Aspire was the only thing I could think of that'd be tall enough that could possibly transcend different kind of styled areas.
Yeah, they can't do a lighthouse again. They already did a lighthouse.
No, and the lighthouse is awesome.
And that's also, they don't usually put the icon in the park, too. The globe and the lighthouse are outside the park.
Yeah, no. So I'm wondering. So this could be the icon in the middle of the park, too. I mean, it could also be... Pretty much all the lands have some sort of castle thing, like you and I were talking about before, I think, in the group. And so it could be a castle at every entrance to pull people in, as Walt would call them, a weenie.
So, five weenies.
Okay, don't calm down. Don't get excited.
Yeah, I'd have no idea. See, I kind of wish this document actually had some more information or new information, as interesting as it is. To see things that we've been, you know, theorizing and have been rumored in print. But there's one more paragraph that I found interesting. The brand new theme park will be located along Universal Boulevard and will be one of the largest parks we've built to date. Even so, we are building the park with a large amount of room for future expansion, allowing for the world of any movie, television show, video game, or more to be featured in our brand new theme park in the future.
That's interesting.
So they're saving room for future expansions straight out the gate, and not just for extra rides, but like extra worlds.
Which could also tie into what we discussed on the other show with the rumors about the parking lot being moved and that all like growing out and expanding there too.
That plot of land is bigger already than the other two parks, not combined, but individually.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, definitely.
And so there's already room to skip.
It does. It's super interesting to me because it does seem like it's going to be, I mean, besides the basic hub and spoke, it does seem like it's going to be a brand new thing. I'm very curious.
The only other thing that we can't really tell, there's some blurry text, but it seems to be about Super Nintendo World in particular. And it's mostly stuff that was said in the interviews that's already been released about how you'll be able to feel like you're in the video game and it can be experienced regardless of age or video gaming level. And it just ends with, we can't wait to reveal more of the new park in the next few years at the bottom.
I can't wait either. I want to see how much of this you actually got good information on. I'm imagining most of it, but still.
And anyone listening who hasn't listened to our last episode, give it a listen, because we go to great lengths discussing every single rumor for the new park that could possibly be discussed. But I did find one other thing interesting. At the very bottom of this is a giant block of copyrights and trademarks, as they often do, like in the back of the park map with everything that's mentioned.
That's interesting.
And it probably includes things on prior pages or things that we're not seeing here. But like it says, you know, the nighttime lights at Hogwarts Castle, Gryffindor, Jurassic Park and Jurassic World, registered trademark, Amblin Entertainment, Scooby-Doo and characters. It's just all kinds of stuff. But I did find one of these incredibly interesting. It says Grindelwald. If you look on the bottom right,
oh, yeah,
next to the Harry Potter stuff. Yeah, if you look to the left, there's Universal Classic Monsters. But it also says like Beetlejuice and stuff. So who knows? There might have just been a photo of all the characters from Universal on a different page, and they're just putting a. But Grindelwald is interesting because there's no Grindelwald attractions or characters in the park already.
No, I see the mummy too. So it could be like you're saying everything.
Yeah, but they did have a marketing push and they were selling merchandise. So maybe they recapped that they were they had a temporary deal with. For Grindelwald merchandise in the parks. I don't know. Or it has something to do with the new park. Don't know.
That's interesting, though. And now, after, three episodes of Universal, it's time for something completely different. Is that what they said?
Okay, now on to our main segment.
Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars. Oh, sorry.
That's perfect. That's a great segue.
Yay. Brought to you by beer, kids.
If I wasn't sick. Next time. What did I even write here? Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is a new land based on the Star Wars franchise being built at both Disneyland Park in California and Disney's Hollywood Studios in Florida. It'll be 14 acres.
Wow. Okay, speed reader.
Yeah, we got to get through all this stuff so we can get to the rides, because the rides are the best.
Okay, I'm going to be quiet and go.
The name of the planet is Batuu. It's not anything that was previously in the movies. However, they're kind of shoehorning it in, aren't they, at this point?
Yeah, but they snuck in Black Spire and I think a name of somebody that's supposed to be in the land in Solo.
I didn't watch Solo. I have it and I need to watch it, but I haven't watched it yet.
For shame.
I know.
Yeah, it's a fun time. It's not like amazing, but you kind of just get what you think you're going to get. And it was actually fun. And I actually want to see what happens next.
But it has no bearing. Just because they mention Black Spire Outpost doesn't mean it's actually, they don't go to it.
Nope. They just say it. They mention it in passing.
I wonder if it'll actually take, like if they'll utilize it at all in the next movie.
I don't know. Maybe if they did another Solo would fit, but it's interesting where it sits in the whole universe.
So the backstory for Black Spire Outpost is it's like where all the smugglers hang out, all the thieves and rogue traders. It used to be a popular like gas station stop along the old sub light speed trade routes.
Yay.
But since the invention of light speed, no one has a reason to stop there anymore. So it's like when they move the off ramp away from a little sleepy town. So there's no reason for anyone to get off of there anymore.
So it becomes Route 66.
Exactly. This is just Cars Land, but Star Wars style.
That's fine with me. I hear that land is awesome.
And it's opening in the summer for Disneyland, but here in Orlando, it is not opening at Hollywood Studios until late fall, which is the day before my birthday is late fall, December 20th. Technically still fall. So
are you open for a birthday present? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm gonna be there. No, because that's the first day of winter, so it's the day before. they're claiming late fall, so December 20th. Mark your calendars. And I love that there was an article out that got a lot of traction that up to 200,000 people are gonna line up on opening day at Disneyland.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be one of them. I love Star Wars, but no way.
So, you know, that's like a 40-day wait to get on the line.
Yeah, I'm all set. We're good. I'll wait. You guys do that. Have fun.
So maybe there is a bonus to it opening later here in Florida, is maybe the weights will be a little bit lower because people would have, all the hardcore fans probably would travel to the first one to see it.
Well, yeah, and also there's probably going to, Disney likes money, so there's probably going to be some event or something was announced, right?
They're going to do something like they're doing right now, after hours events where you can pay extra to go to the park kind of like by yourself and experience all the busy rides. Like with Toy Story Land, they did an early hours event where you can actually pay to go to the park before it opens and do the Slinky Dog Dash roller coaster without waiting in line. So it's not like paying for a fast pass, but at the same time, it's kind of like paying for a fast pass.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's cool, though, to have the stuff where you can get into, even if it's just an area with less crowds, the way the parks are now. So
yeah, I'm imagining maybe an early hours or an after hours entry into the land might be available for quite a long time after it opens.
And maybe one of us will be lucky enough to get a media event, you know,
yeah, like
the one that lives in Florida.
Maybe there'll be a DVC preview.
That's probably more likely.
Yeah. I mean, they had a paid preview for Pixar Pier at Disneyland at California Adventure. So that might have been some kind of test to see if people were willing to pay just to go to a preview.
Well, I think in general, there's some strategy to opening the West Coast first anyway, so Walt Disney World can just wait and watch and see how to fix things. Before
fix the bugs away. In the Millennium Falcon ride before it opens.
Oh, man. All right. So what else do we know? What else have you seen announced that most people may or may not have heard?
Well, we're still kind of covering the stuff that everyone keeps hearing over and over again. And that's like, there'll be droids wandering the streets. I don't know where they'll be, have room to wander the streets, but there'll be droids wandering the streets in between the people. And there'll be actors and street show elements, maybe an Old West style shootout. You know, maybe if they have like balconies and stuff where people could do like a little street show, that might be cool. Like they come out of a little window and they're like, hey, you owe me credits.
That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah. They tested stuff like that in Disneyland in the Frontierland before. So
it'd be pretty cool, actually. Just as long as it's not Greedo shooting first. Worst thing ever.
So moving on. supposedly your magic band will track your reputation. And depending on how well you pilot the Millennium Falcon, you know, people might say like, hey, you're a terrible pilot. And you can supposedly opt out of that in case you don't want to be interacted with.
Well, what if I want to be horrible so I can just heckle people back? That seems fun.
Yeah, it almost, you ruin the ride for everyone else just so that you can get the experience. It's like, I've already had the good experience. Now I'm going to go on the ride and crash, so I want to have a bad experience.
I don't know if you know me very well, but I have a tendency for the dark side of things. So, you know.
Not surprised. So, dining and shopping. In the land, in Galaxy's Edge. And you were pointing out where the Imagineers found inspiration for the land.
Oh, yeah. I'm super stoked to see what they did. It was Morocco and Istanbul they went to for the ports there and the old, like the older villages and stuff.
And Morocco is like my favorite place in Epcot. I love the like getting lost back there. So the idea of a whole land kind of being like their marketplace is actually kind of cool to me.
Yeah, I'm stoked for that. I love Morocco too. I just like wandering through there. So I'm excited to see what they actually pull out of those countries and bring to life and kind of mix in with Star Wars.
I heard they're going to have customizable droids. They already kind of have like build your own droid toys, but this is going to be like build your own interactive droid. And you can give it like, their example they gave was you can give it a sense of fear for stormtroopers. And then when stormtroopers pass by in the land, your droid will react like it's terrified. That's kind of cute.
That's pretty fun, actually.
People in your family get droids. They could talk to each other. So it's like Furbies.
But what if I want to talk to the droid? Some people can understand them.
Well, you could talk to Furbies. Yeah. Una ilala.
Oh, boy. I never had a Furby.
You never had a Furby?
No.
Oh. They're wonderful. They steal your souls while you sleep, but they're wonderful.
I have a demon tattooed on me. What makes you think I had a Furby?
Because Furbies are demons.
Evil. Not fun evil.
What's the and like in Pandora, You're not going to see Mickey Mouse around here. You probably won't even see a Star Wars logo in the land. They're going to try to make it like you're on a different planet. So all the bags and the merchandise are going to like downplay the fact that you're in Disney World. There'll be Coke. You could buy Coca-Cola, but you're on Batuu. So it's Batuu Coke.
Wait. Can we jump ahead now? Batuu Coke and then non-dairy blue milk is what I read.
Non-dairy, yeah, blue milk. I want the green milk.
I saw that too. I want some fresh green milk and the non-dairy blue milk. What?
Yeah, Oga's Cantina, which will probably be a reservation-only restaurant. So like they're pushing it a lot and they're advertising it a lot, but it's not going to be easy to get in. What's interesting to me is it'll serve alcohol because it's a cantina, but you know, that's fine in Hollywood Studios where there's like lots of bars, but in Disneyland, they don't sell alcohol. So that'll actually be something new.
Yeah, I heard there was a big fuss over that out in Disneyland, some of the people.
Yeah, I guess because you're on a different planet, it doesn't count.
Hey, that works. Sounds like a good reason.
There'll be a drink named a Fuzzy Tauntaun.
Okay.
Is that the thing that like when they cut it open, they're like, oh, and I thought it smelled bad on the outside.
Yep, that's the one. Yeah,
I can't wait to drink that.
I know. I can't wait to smell that drink.
And they're going to have the dairy-free blue milk with the quotes, milk.
Yeah, what the hell is non-dairy? Oh, somebody made this comment. I liked it. Blue silk.
Blue silk, exactly. Because wait till they get sued by the dairy farmers for using the word milk.
I know, right? So this is another attempt by Disney to get their butterbeer going?
Well, this one's actually, people will drink it. You know, they actually should make it taste bad. Because then it'll be like Beverly and everyone will be like, I dare you to try the blue milk. And it'll get the people to buy it. If it tastes mildly decent, like LeFou's brew, then people will get it and they're like, meh. Yeah, but if it is bad, you'll like Instagram it. Like, you have to try this. It's so nasty.
I think that'll be the Fuzzy Tauntaun. It's gross. You should try it. It smells real funny.
You can see the stink lines coming off it. It's so stinky.
It smells like filthy, furry, dirty animal. Here you go.
But it'll keep you warm on a cold night.
Oh, boy.
And then inside Oga's is where we're going to find DJ Rex. Yes. In the house.
Yes. Mr. Paul Rubens.
I really hope he reprises his role. Like, I can't imagine anyone else doing it.
How is it Rex if it's not Pee-wee?
Yeah, he reprised the role for the cartoon show. He was on Rebels.
I'm saying it's going to be him. It's got to be. Otherwise, they wouldn't say Rex because his voice is very identifiable.
Yeah.
That seems a little weird to say Rex and then be like, it might not be Paul Rubens, though. You can just give him another name.
He'll just be there and he'll be spinning tunes, but he never talks.
It's so awkward.
He just changes the records in the background.
So awkward. I'm talking DJ. Let's not get this party going. I'm just going
to. He's not an MC. He's just the DJ.
They talk.
Let's hope he's a better DJ than he was a pilot. Ooh.
Oh, that is a little bit of a nerdy joke. I approve.
And there'll also be like photo ops, I guess. There'll be ships and things to take pictures in front of around the land. It's going to be big. So hopefully it doesn't run into the problems that like Hogsmeade did when they first opened, where the line was wrapped all the way around City Walk, because there's a little bit more room for people to exist in this land.
You did say 200,000 people just to get in, right? So I'm assuming it's going to be a mess for a little while.
I don't know where that number came from. Someone made that number up.
I mean, it's not like Disney has ever predicted something like this before, not like Disneyland Paris or anything. But
that's what I was thinking. Like, where they like they put out newspaper articles like it's going to be too busy, and then no one shows up.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen here, but still, I think it's kind of funny. Isn't that the same number they predicted too?
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't remember. Somebody let us know.
Like, there's no wait, and you just get right on the rides.
Everyone's afraid of the numbers. All right, so we got the customizable droids. Oh, the shop owner that I am kind of disappointed in. Go ahead. What is that one?
What is what?
The shop owner that you can haggle with. What is that thing?
Oh, yeah, Doc Ondar.
Yeah, that's why you said it.
Yeah, make me say the weird names from Star Wars. I guess that's another character that was briefly mentioned in Solo.
Yeah, I have to watch it again to verify that one. This is kind of a new name floating around, and I haven't watched Solo in a little bit, so I have to watch it again to try and
catch it. They need to have the diner from Phantom Menace. What was that? Jack Jetster or something.
Something.
Oh, man. They need to have him. there's going to be a quick service location that on the street that uses a pod racing engine to roast meat.
Oh, yeah.
So you can get that. Like street food that's roasted on a pod racing engine.
Because that's what everybody wants. I mean, besides me. I really want it, though.
I'm going to stand by it and just wait to see how many people walk by and go, now this is pod racing.
Can we talk about Doc Ondor for a minute? Because I have
yes,
some
go, issues. Go ahead. I know about him.
I have some issues. So supposedly he's going to be an animatronic and you can haggle with him. And if he accepts what you offer, you can trade with him. But this sounds a lot like the money exchange at Universal. So, yeah.
Which creepy and never looks me in the eyes. So I'm always like, are you talking to me? Who are you talking to? Which one of us are you talking to?
But here's my issue. They promised us this super, super immersive area. I don't want to talk to a robot. I want to talk to a person and haggle for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would be way more fun.
I think it's funny because the Imagineers like come up with this grandiose idea that it's like in Pandora, there are going to be no signs. Everywhere is going to be no signs. And then when they actually open it, the operations people take over and they're like, we need signs. No one can find their way around. And yeah. The Imagineers are like, listen, you'll be able to haggle with an alien. And then they open up and it's like, we need set price tags. Don't you understand how this works? It's a theme park.
Oh, man. I mean, I want to haggle with a person. I don't want to. I mean, it's a. It's this seems a lot more like look what we can do than an actual fun part. I want to haggle with a person, but we'll see. I
hold my rules of Disney marketing where wherever they say diminish it by 10 times in your mind, and that's reality. It's like you'll be able to haggle with an alien. It's like you'll be able to talk, and they have 6 different phrases they say back to you.
Exactly, but I mean, I hold final judgment. There's been some pretty cool stuff the Imagineers have pulled, but that is an issue on the surface. My first reaction was kind of like, I would want to talk to a person, not a robot.
Just like the droids that are supposedly going to be walking around. It's like, I'd believe it if there was room for droids to be walking around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had Push for a little while. So if the walkways open a little bit, I would imagine it could be something like that. That would be
yeah. Cool. At the After of Hours event, you pay extra for.
Yeah. I have like an R2-D2 version of Push.
So they're also building a Star Wars hotel.
Which looks small.
No, I'm asking you, are they? Because I've been looking at the helicopter aerials and it's still just dirt. So are they building a Star Wars hotel?
Yeah, well, that's the rumor. And it looks small. That's what I said. It looks small.
They released concept art and they haven't even like started building it. So we're not going to talk too much about it, but I think it has less than 100 rooms or cabins, as it were. But when it does open, it's going to have a backdoor connection to the land so that people can get directly into Galaxy's Edge from their spaceship.
Which is amazing. And it's supposed to be, they say you're supposed to put your mindset more into like a cruise kind of thinking.
Yeah, because you're trapped. Also, yeah. In space.
In space. Until you go out the back door, then it's fine.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get on a bus that looks like a space shuttle. And the shuttle is going to fly you down to the planet, but on wheels because it's a bus.
I think there's going to be something else that you have to stand in, kind of like Living Seas, the hydrolators.
That's how they're going to, when you go through bag check, when you first get there, they're going to have that fake room that's supposed to be a shuttle. And then later when you go to the land, you're going to get into another fake room that's actually a bus that looks like a shuttle. So one of them is fake and one of them is a bus. Either way, you're going to be spending your vacation in rooms with fake windows to fake space.
Sweet.
So don't get too claustrophobic.
It's space. How can you? There's stuff everywhere. You just float forever. No, I want to go there. I want to check that out, but it's going to be super expensive. So I don't know if I'll ever get the chance, but maybe.
I mean, I would get claustrophobic enough on a cruise ship. That's why they started putting fake portholes with little screens for windows. Because people get like so claustrophobic with no windows. Like this is just that with space portholes.
Yeah, and then those inner cabins got more popular because of the portholes. Anyway.
And whenever it does open, it's going to be like $1,000 a night, so.
Yeah, and they're going to, what is it? It's probably going to be a minimum, so you can do one of the stories, like a 2-night or something.
Yeah, and per person. I'm talking like $1,000 a person per night, minimum 2 or 3 nights.
Insane.
You get to keep your wardrobe.
Oh, sweet, because I'm sure those Star Wars raggedy regular person clothes are worth like $1,000.
Here's your cloak. We got it from Spirit Halloween store.
Yeah, here's some smuggler pants. They're basically pajamas. $1,000, please. I'm sure it's going to be awesome, though. I mean, I'm joking around, but I'm actually really excited to see.
Oh, yeah. If I was rich, I wouldn't be making fun of it as much.
Well, no. If I was rich, I'd be moving in.
But who knows when that's going to open, though? Like, you know, that could be, maybe they're trying to get it done in time for the 50th anniversary in 2021, maybe.
I would think they try to get that open quickly, because that, even though it's pricey, that hotel is going to be popular. All right. Now to the fun parts.
To the rides.
The fun.
Let's get in line for this 6-hour wait. Now there's two rides opening at the land. And I think one of them has gotten a lot of press and the other one, not so much. But we will talk about the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run first.
Which is obviously getting more attention because it's the Falcon. And who doesn't love that thing?
Yes, everyone wants to punch it, Chewie.
Exactly. And unfortunately, you're going to get on that ride with kids that are just going to nonstop punch buttons.
Well, they'll have over 200 buttons, knobs, and switches inside the cockpit. And they all do stuff. 190 of them just turn color lights on and off. But yeah,
I was going to say, you mean like move and change color? They all do stuff?
Yeah, I've been on Mission Space a lot, and I can tell you that most of those buttons do something. When you flip the switch, it goes, and that is the extent of it doing something.
It does something, though.
Yes. But I do want to start off by saying this is not a centrifuge. The Mission Space is a centrifuge. Like, it spins around, and you get nauseous. It makes it feel like there's, you know, G-forces against you. This is not like that.
That's good.
I know when they were showing aerial photography, people are seeing the circles and thinking, oh, no, it's exactly like Mission Space. The only way it's like Mission Space is that you will be in a small cabin and it is on a turntable, but you're not rotating really, really fast. The turntable is actually just for loading.
Which is interesting.
What they did is you get into like what is essentially a small Star Tours vehicle. It just holds 6 people. You get into this pod, and then the turntable rotates just a little bit, so the next pod lines up with the load platform, so the next people can get into the pod. And it rotates at such a rate that the entire 4.5-minute ride is you making your way around this disc.
That's and cool.
Then by the time the ride's over, you unload, and it parks you at unload. What it'll look like from your point of view is that you waited in line, then you boarded onto the Millennium Falcon, and you walk through the hallway that's recreated, and then you walk into the cockpit. It looks like it's all just the one ship, but really just the cone of it, the little tip of it, is actually always moving out of the way, and then the next one comes, and then the next one comes. Kind of like the loading of a Ferris wheel. You know, you have to wait for them all to load.
That's pretty cool. My concern with me is if they ever wanted to lengthen the ride, I wonder if they could control the speed of the turntable.
They could, and it would just be more time in between loading, though, and then hold less people.
That's fine, because, you know, eventually, maybe like 30 years down the road, it'll slow down.
Because I think they got a 45-second load time, 45-second unload, and then 4.5-minute ride, so it's a full 6 minutes for a rotation.
That's pretty cool. That's not too bad. 4.5-minute ride's not bad.
No, it's not, and that's about as long as you can probably go without getting motion sickness. And just like Pandora, Flight of Passage and Star Tours, you know, like there's breaks in the middle, like on Flight of Passage, there's a part where you just park the Banshee just stops in a cave and it's like beautiful and you're sitting there for a minute. And on Star Tours, it's like, oh, we have a transmission coming in. I think they did the math and they figured out at the midpoint, people start to get a little nauseous. So they give you a little moment to catch your breath. So I think we can expect something like that in the middle of this ride. There'll be a moment where you're kind of stopped.
That's cool. And I don't want the stop. Can we just keep going? Can I push the button?
When they came out with Body Wars, that part of the ride, you were in the heart, I think. It was like, yeah, people got so sick because it was just boom, 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 boom. So they actually cut out 30 seconds and faded the film. Because people couldn't take the back and forth swishy swashy.
Horrible, horrible cut too. Super noticeable.
Yeah, and that's why you'll find a little break in the middle of these rides nowadays. So that'll end up giving us what, 1,600 to 1,800 riders per hour.
Yeah.
Because there's 4 of these turntables, each with 7 cockpits.
Hold on, you broke up. So there's 4 turntables with 7 cockpits.
Yes.
Okay. And 2 buildings?
Yeah, I think it's like, yeah, there'll be a point early on where your line will diverge into 2 different places. So really there's technically like four different Falcons that you would walk into.
Okay.
Each leading to their own turntable.
Okay, so now let's get really nerdy. This is supposed to be real time and rendering real time.
Yeah, so it's essentially a video game.
Which is awesome, but that's a big video game. So what are we talking about here? Did you find out anything about the computing?
Yeah, I wrote it down because there's no way I was going to remember that. It was Disney and ILM are working in partnership with NVIDIA and Epic Games. The Ride film will run on Unreal Engine, which is a video game powered engine, with eight NVIDIA Quadro P6000 GPUs and five Quadro Sync projectors offering ultra high resolution picture.
Okay, translate.
It's going to look really crystal clear and render in real time. So it's like playing the equivalent of like six video games at once.
That's awesome.
No, it's going to look really good, but it's also going to, I think what's interesting about it, and I just heard that the pods can rotate at 360 degrees. I didn't realize that.
This is getting fun.
You know, that'll be cool if you're like in the gunning position and you're trying to shoot and you're like telling the person up front, rotate us, rotate us. Like,
it's going to go well if a kid's driving and you're a stranger. Turn, kid!
I just can imagine how many curse words are going to be said on this thing. Like, shoot the blank, shoot the blank. What I think is interesting is I'm hearing there might be different missions. So like the ride's not only going to be different every time, but it might actually be a randomized mission. And then kind of like Star Tours right now has randomized segments. There might actually be randomized missions, and then during the mission, you'll have an opportunity to make a choice. I'm thinking like maybe it's majority rules, like the old Horizons ride at the end, when it's like everyone votes, and then whatever got picked the most, it's like choose your own adventure, and it's like do we go right or do we go left, and everyone votes left or right, and then you go. So at least there's some form of interactivity besides just the, you know, shooting and flying. Because mission space is always predetermined. It's exactly the same thing. I think when they first announced it, everyone thought it was going to be you really get to make decisions, but you just press a button when it tells you to.
Wait, the buttons and the joysticks don't do anything?
Sorry. I'm ruining the magic. They don't. I thought it was helping. They don't even like move nowadays. They hardly move. Used to be like pretend pullback, like you feel the. Yeah. Now there'll probably be like. In video games where you know you hit a wall when you can't go any farther to the right or to the left, I think there'll be like guidelines to keep you from flying off course, keep you on the mission.
So this is the Falcon. Who from Star Wars is on the Falcon? Is it just us?
We're piloting, but I think we've been hired by Chewbacca and Hondo. Hondo Anaka? Mm-hmm. Did I say that right?
Pretty good. Yep. Let's go.
Okay. Character from Clone Wars and Rebels. I think this will be the first time there'll be a live action variation of this character created. Cool. Yeah. So I think he's, he added some seats to the cockpit. So now it holds six. That's nice of him. But we're on a mission to smuggle something for him.
So wait. He managed to lengthen the cockpit and put some more seats in there magically. Good job. That's good.
Well, it's a little cramped, and the people in the back might not be able to see so good, but there are seats back there.
That's cool. We're good. Yeah, it actually looks pretty cool. They even did the back seats different, just like in the actual Falcon in the movies, which looks pretty cool.
At least there'll be Chewbacca. I think that like that's a good way of making it someone who's recognizable for everyone, even people who've seen only the old films, and then someone recognizable for kids that maybe have only seen the cartoons. It's kind of a neat bridge between the two generations.
Yeah, the kids that see the cartoons. Just the kids.
the 9-year-olds are going to be piloting the Millennium. Now this is pod racing.
The 9-year-olds that watch Clone Wars and Rebels. How old am I?
I've never actually seen them.
They're pretty good.
I've seen the main movies and Rogue One so far.
It's been a little while and I don't have a great memory, so I won't lie, but they're pretty good. You should watch them, even though they're animated.
And of course, the outcome of the ride's events and your performance will determine how your reputation throughout the land, supposedly. So like, you know, maybe someone at the cantina might say, hey, the boss isn't happy how you brought the ship back if you like bumped into walls and stuff.
Yeah, that'll probably be my problem.
But I guess it's only going to be based on your last performance. Like, I can't imagine it keeping a log of like, hey, you've written 63 times, and so far 70% have been pretty good. Like, I don't know how high tech this is going to get.
That's fun anyway, too, because if people go a lot, then they'll be able to manipulate and try different things to see what kind of different reactions there are. So that's pretty cool that it's just the last time. I don't see a need for like a cumulative kind of like reaction, especially when you're running the same three things, you know?
Yeah. And who knows to what extent this will actually be. When the magic bands were coming out, they promised us that like when you get in line for meet and greet with a princess, they would say you by name. They'd be like, call you by name. And I don't know if they tested it and they're like, kids were creeped out that Princess Elsa know their name or something. I don't know. But that kind of stuff never panned out.
That's all you. I don't visit the princesses.
It says your name at the end of It's a Small World. Your name goes up on the screen.
I didn't even notice. I was too busy looking around. I heard about that though, but I just didn't think to look last time we were there. So
I think that's all I wanted to talk about for that ride, for Smuggler's Run. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about that?
No, it's cool. I'm stoked they brought somebody from like the animated stuff into it though with Chewbacca. I think that's really cool because I think a lot of people that are fans of those shows want to see more live action stuff, especially Ahsoka is really popular and people want to see some of those people come into live action. So I think it's cool that they did that and they dipped into a different world, so to speak, within the Star Wars universe. Hopefully they'll do more of that coming forward.
Okay.
Now let's get to the fun ride that people don't know that much about that has just started to kind of come out in rumors.
This is the one I'm actually really looking forward to. This might be the best ride of the year, and that's up against the Harry Potter coaster. This might be my new favorite ride if all these rumors turn out to be true.
And you're talking about the guy behind it, the main guy behind it. Seems pretty cool, and people should be excited. Yep,
Scott Trowbridge.
Yep.
He worked on the Spider-Man ride at Islands of Adventure, which is currently my favorite ride. Ever since riding that blew me away. I like Forbidden Journey too, because it kind of took it into a new direction. But the way that incorporated 3D with moving. Now, this won't be a 3D ride, Rise of the Resistance. Fine. But in the same way, I think it's going to incorporate so many different ride technologies that haven't been mushed together into a ride before. I think people are going to they're not going to know what they're expecting like when they get on this. Like, it's going to be a much bigger experience than anyone realizes.
Okay, so we're going to do this. Because Scott did so good with Spider-Man, and everybody still loves it, no matter how old it is, it's still one of the best rides in most people's opinion. We're just going to say this, ready? In Scott, we trust. That's what I'm going to say. I believe in this dude, because like to come out with Spider-Man alone, and now to be handed something like Star Wars, which I can't wait to see what he does with this. I can't wait.
Yeah, it felt like, Disney's like, we need two rides. One of them, you got to be able to fly the Falcon. And the other one, we need something epic. And I know that word is dumb, but they needed something that is on the scale of a Star Wars movie that you're inside of.
You can't say epic. That's Universal's. Sorry.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. They trademarked it. So here's the weirdest thing. I've heard that the entire experience is going to be 28 minutes long.
That's awesome. please. Whatever you do, don't stick me in Star Wars anything for 28 minutes. That would be horrible. I do not want to be immersed in that. It sounds terrible. Done by this dude who was basically, you know, as far as design goes, kind of a visionary coming out with Spider-Man.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm waiting in line for 9 hours for a ride, I want it to be, you know, something juicy like that. I don't want it to be over in 3 minutes. So we've seen the trackless ride vehicles. They were like released pictures and a model of that months ago. Earlier last year, and then we've seen it in motion in the recent commercials. It's very similar to the Ratatouille ride vehicle. They call it the First Order Fleet Transport Ride Vehicle. But that's just for the main ride. Before you even get to the ride, we have to go into space. I don't think people really realize that we're getting into the queue on Batuu, but the ride takes place in a Star Destroyer.
So awesome. What I'm talking about.
So now, like when you go on the Gringotts, Escape from Gringotts ride, there's an elevator down to the vaults. And, you know, like you get into the elevator and you like watch the projections on the screens around you and it feels like you're going down. But then you go out the other door. So it's like you go in one door, you go out the other door. Like I didn't actually go down. I just walked right through this hallway, essentially.
Yep.
We're going to get onto a carrier shuttle, walk through the door. and see out the windows that we're going into space, we're launching in a shuttle, a person carrier, and then we're going to exit out the same door we went in and be on a Star Destroyer.
That's awesome.
To accomplish this, they have gone through the trouble of building a giant turntable that will slowly rotate your pre-show space shuttle video so you actually enter and exit the same door, so you don't, so it, like, it really tricks you into thinking you went into space.
That's awesome. I mean, and so wait, and also, since you talked about the vehicles, the ride vehicle, there's also a droid on those things too, right? Once we get there.
That's on the trackless ride vehicle. Before we even get to that, there's still more pre-show stuff after we get out of the shuttle and we're on the ship, because we've been captured by the enemy, by the First Order. So they're going to have us probably go into some kind of briefing room or something to tell us where we're going to be locked up. And from there, we're going to get taken away to the trackless ride vehicle to be brought to the brig or wherever.
So are we talking, like, are we getting caught in like a tractor beam?
That might make sense. Now, see, I don't know about the story elements. It could be that we're actually purposely trying to get captured. Like, we could be briefed by the resistance before we go up there and say, like, listen, you're a distraction. We need you to get captured. We need you to distract the guards. And then we're going to come and not only save you, but take down their ship. So,
okay. I'm in for that too.
That's just a theory.
In the commercial for this thing, isn't there like a scene in like a hangar or something with lots of stormtroopers?
Yeah, there's going to be like 50 stormtroopers, maybe 100, depending on what rumor you're listening to. I did hear there's going to be 305 animatronics on the ride total, which is insane.
What?
So, and if you count like 50 to 100 stormtroopers, that still leaves, you know, 2/3 of, I don't know what, moving characters of some sort.
That's awesome. Any other characters we know going to be on here?
Just Kylo Ren is the only one. They said you'll come face to face with Kylo Ren.
Is he going to have a temper tantrum?
Probably. I think his mask is going to be like sealed back together. So I'm assuming this is taking place after the last movie, before the next movie.
Okay. Because
he's gone back to evil.
So, oh, you mean between the first and the second?
Between the, what was the last movie? 8?
The Last Jedi.
Yeah, like after that one, but before the new one that hasn't come out yet.
Okay.
So, like, we'll be riding the ride the week the movie comes out. And if you ride the ride first in the movie, that'll be the correct order.
Interesting.
I think. Don't quote me on that.
I'm thinking it's the other way. I think it's before The Last Jedi.
You think? Okay. So that's why his mask isn't broken yet.
We'll see. Yep, we'll see.
We'll have to see if his mask is stitched up or not. The ride will have 18 different show scenes. I'm not sure if that counts the couple pre-shows, but it will also utilize 5 different ride systems. That's cool. If we discount the one for the pre-show, that's still 4 more. And then we take away the trackless ride vehicle, which is like the Ratatouille ride vehicle. It'll hold 8 persons per ride vehicle. It has some tilting and like pitch motion to it, mm-hmm. but not nearly as much as Spider-Man.
Okay.
In the commercial, you see like going down the halls and stuff. All of that was filmed in the actual ride. So, like, I'm amazed to see all of these fleshed out real sets. I think that's really cool. Like, we haven't been on a Star Wars ride that hasn't been screen based yet. We've only done Star Tours. And the best part for Star Tours for me is like that part with C-3PO and R2 and the Star Speeder. I think that room is so cool.
Yeah.
So the idea of actually going through fully fleshed out sets. And this will be the biggest indoor ride Disney's ever built.
It sounds like it. This is a lot of stuff. And so wait, I'm just like overwhelmed. This is so cool. So basically we're going to wait in a queue. We're going to get on a spaceship. Then we're going to sort of wait in a themed sort of queue to get on the new ride vehicles.
Right.
And then,
we're in the hangar bay with the 50 stormtroopers. And we're making our way to wherever the droid on our little carrier vehicle is taking us. What's amazing about this is now there's still several other ride systems incorporated into the ride. So at certain points, our ride vehicle will lock into place with a larger ride system. Similar thing would be like on Reign of Kong, when the 360 scene happens, you're in what would be a tram car, and then it locks into like the old Earthquake ride where you lock into place and then the ground moves. Even Escape from Gringotts, the track locks and then the track moves, and that's how it gets the motion going. So even though the ride vehicles have limited range of motion, they'll lock into place at certain segments and have greater motion.
Yeah, I was going to say it's kind of like Catastrophe Canyon too, even though that was a train, but you locked in.
Exactly.
Yep. Keep it Disney.
So yeah, I'm sorry. All my references are Universal.
It's all good. It's all good. Universal's awesome.
But that'll be for some segments. There's one though. Oh, hold on. Let's talk about the AT-ATs first. Are we going to wait? Do you call them AT-ATs or AT-ATs?
Both. It depends on who I'm talking to.
Because some people are really anal about that. It's just, I've always called them AT-ATs.
Either way, it's fine because there's more than one kind of vehicle.
We've seen construction footage and we've seen clips from a commercial. That room is 6 stories tall.
That's with insane.
The huge AT-ATs. and we weave in between their legs, and supposedly they almost step on us at one point. But also, there was a patent that Disney got for laser effects that can make it look like there's laser beams in the air. That
interesting.
Normally, like a laser, you see the whole laser, but they've made it so that you only see it for a split second, so it looks like it's actually firing at you.
Oh, so it's going to be stormtroopers shooting and missing like they always do.
Or AT-ATs firing at you like in the commercial.
Yeah, if
they can pull this off using mirrors or whatever, instead of it just being a steady long stream of laser, instead of it like actually being like a little that would be mind-blowing because that would be a first of its kind.
Especially if it's moving like that, like a segment moving.
Right, flying at you. That's scene 11.
That's scene 11. Is Kylo Ren going to stop one like he does in the first?
That would be so cool. That was the best part of that movie.
That movie was awesome. That part of that movie was amazing.
Is that scene 11? Someone told me there's a gunner bay scene in scene 14. Okay, scene 18, though, is beyond gigantic. I think that's like the end. That's the finale. And I asked someone, I was talking to them, I was like, so wait a minute. We took a shuttle up to the ship, but we exit the ride on the ground. Do we take a shuttle back down? And they're like, no.
Oh, man. We're crashing?
I think so.
Sweet.
There are permits for a ride system that is strikingly similar to the up-down motion of Flight of Passage, which is like a mini Tower of Terror system.
Oh.
Which can go like 10 feet up and down rapidly. People don't even notice it on Flight of Passage, but every time the Banshee flaps its wings, you go up a little bit. And then when it dives down, you go down 10 feet. So it really feels like you're diving. It really like gives you that pit in your stomach kind of feeling. So I imagine we will be locking into a ride system toward the end and all hell is going to break loose and we are going to crash land or take an escape pod down back to Batu, and we are going to feel it.
I'm in tonight. Can we just do that part over and over again too, and we're done?
Can you imagine? Like people are like getting into this little slow moving trackless ride vehicle thing, thinking it's going to be like just a great movie ride type slow moving ride, and then all of a sudden, the first time it locks in, they're going to be like, "Whoa, there's a lot more motion on this ride." Then the next time it locks in, you are just falling to a planet. while being shot at and things are exploding around you, it's going to be over the top.
Sounds so awesome. And Scott, we trust. I'm saying, everybody hashtag that if you listen. That's my new thing.
Or, you know, I could be wrong and all this is just rumors.
No, now you got me excited.
I think there's going to be even more than I'm thinking that I don't even know what these animatronics are going to be or how they're going to be incorporated into the story too.
I'm just going to say Spider-Man came out of left field and nobody really expected that. So even with this explanation, I'm expecting something bigger, more incredible than we can even imagine and describe with words like this without seeing it.
Some people have described it as the Pirates Shanghai ride, but on a trackless vehicle instead of water, where, and at the end of that, you know, like the ship sinks, everything catches fire, all hell breaks loose, and then you fall down backward, like kind of like that, where it just comes to a head. And like that has impressive animatronics and impressive use of screens that is not 3D. So I could see the comparison, but with more tangible sets for this one.
Now, if only I had experience on actually writing it besides the videos.
And you can even see in the model and the concept art, the exit for this ride for Rise of the Resistance actually is through a crash landed ship.
That's amazing. That's so, awesome.
I'm reminded of the Muppet Vision. When you leave the theater, you see all the arrows and the fire damage from during the finale.
Yeah, the cannon holes.
Yeah, the cannon holes. So like we're going to exit the building and we're exiting the ship we just crash landed in.
Is it weird that I kind of hope it's on fire?
No, I really hope it's like smoldering at least. It's constantly smoldering.
Yeah, something that's like shows that it's just done.
But they're going to try to hide that behind like rock work and stuff, so you don't notice it till after you're exiting.
I'm so excited for this ride. I got to say, though, that was a pretty good trick, though, talking about the Millennium Falcon, because they knew everybody was going to love that, and then sneaking this ridiculous thing in.
This building is massive. If you consider like the Millennium Falcon only takes place really in just the cockpit and, you know, with the screen. Like, this is such a massive, open, big... Imagine going into a room with the nearly full-scale AT-ATs and six stories tall.
Can I drive one? I just want to... I love AT-ATs. I would like to drive one. This sounds so fun. So excited for this.
Now, I wonder what happens to Star Tours.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough call, too. It's in a weird spot, right?
It's in an even weirder spot in Disneyland, because it's also in the same park, but it's on the opposite corner in Tomorrowland.
And I don't know.
At least here, it's only separated by the Muppets.
Yeah, and I don't want the Muppets to go away.
No. Until they add more rides, there's not enough capacity in the park, or at least at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have something else for people to do elsewhere. They already closed everything else, and Toy Story wasn't enough.
Yeah, that wasn't... I wish they did more with that land. I haven't been actually in it, but I hear it's actually pretty cool for what it is, but I wish they did more with that. I wish
it is bigger. But you can't spend that long there.
Yeah, I wish it was bigger. And
without getting a sunburn.
I don't know about Disneyland, but I know in Florida, at least, they could expand more. And then,
I mean, they have the launch bay in the Animation Courtyard area, too.
Yeah, that's probably going to go away. That'll probably be
closing. That, I would imagine, closing. And then if you want to build a new ride, knock all that down finally, instead of repurposing it and actually build a ride like a Incredibles ride or a Monsters, Inc. ride or something. Yeah. And then Star Tours, you can close down and redo it into something else. I wouldn't mind turning Star Tours into a WALL-E ride. Incredibles would make a go. Baymax flying on... like a ship that a hero makes, and we have to like go follow Baymax on a mission with Big Hero 6. That could be a fun ride.
It could be. I think if they're going to do that, I would like to see them close it for something else. I don't know what else off the top of my head, but something other. I think those motion rides have kind of run their course.
Okay, so we level it and we do an Indiana Jones using the boat system from Shanghai.
That's what I'm saying. Let's do the Shanghai Pirates as Indiana Jones. I'm good with that.
There you go. And it's right next door to the stunt show.
That's what I'm saying. I'm good with that.
Yeah, so then you put Monsters, Inc. or Incredibles over at where the launch bay was, and your park is exactly split down the middle, half Pixar, half Lucasfilm.
I'm good. We're good with that. I mean, there's got to be... That animation area, I mean...
With Mickey Mouse in the middle.
I just hope they don't get rid of the old Hollywood stuff in there, because I like walking through those streets and seeing like...
Yeah, no, I do. It's a good main street. It really is.
It's amazing. And then on the way down to like Rock and Roller Coaster and stuff, which is another rumor I heard about them trying to change the band again, but I don't know if that's true. But that's another topic.
That could be a Monsters, Inc. door coaster.
That could be
Rock and Roller Coaster. It's just like you going through like they just do the neon doors instead of a Hollywood sign.
Who's going to do the Steven Tyler countdown that fakes you out half the time?
Mike Wazowski.
That's not going to be terrifying at all.
One, two, three. I'm watching you, Wazowski.
That was better. He should do her. Give her voice.
Always watching. Okay, I think that's going to wrap it up for our Star Wars discussion. For our next episode, though, you can leave us a question in the comments of the video version of this episode or on Twitter using the hashtag AskParkStop, and we might answer your question on the next episode. You can also email us at contact@orlandoparkstop.com with the subject line Ask Park Stop. If we read your question on the next episode, you may win a Theme Park Stop button that I'll send you by mail, because I got a lot of buttons and I want to send them out.
And look for us on Facebook. We have a group. It's really small and fun, and people are really fun in there, and we try to keep it lively, and we do all kinds of talks in there. It's fun. You want to come talk to us, go join the group. You can ask us questions in there directly, too.
Theme Park Stop in the Facebook groups.
And yay!
Of course, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/themeparkstop, and you'll get new rumors and inside information before anyone else. I actually talked about that leaked document we talked about earlier with my Patreon supporters, so they knew about it before you did.
I also want to take a minute just to say thanks to Justin Martin. He's an amazing designer. I have his page up on official TADB themedattractiondatabase.com if you guys want to check out the stuff he's worked on and is working on. If you're a designer, please contact us. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, official TADB everywhere.
One day it'll be a full record of everyone who worked on every ride ever.
I'm trying.
All right, leave us your questions, hashtag AskParkStop. See you next time.
Later, guys. Bye.